fun together.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox City College.
Well, let's see. Yesterday was Thursday, so that would make today. Hey, it is a Feeling Fine Friday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, look outside. First of all, I don't know what is going on. Something has happened to the sky, and for some reason, it's not wet when you walk out in the air. The air is not falling with wetness, which has been happening, you know, like all the time.
Falling and with wetness.
There's okay. Some sort of bright thing in the sky. I don't know if anybody can identify this thing. It is peeking through, at least at the moment, at the studio, through the clouds. Now it is a little breezy out there. But it is a Feeling Fine Friday edition, and we are kicking off not just a three-day party weekend, but ladies and gentlemen, because Monday is Memorial Day, it is a four-day party weekend. Let the celebration begin.
Well, they must have put the extra charge in your medicated drink.
Oh, and I'm only halfway through, baby.
Oh,
I mean,
wonderful.
I'm nursing it today.
Oh, terrific. That's just great.
Phone line is open. Boy, do we have a lot that we can get into today. It was interesting. We'll run down the sports results and all of the things going on there, and there's a lot going on there. And Penn State's remarkable sports year continues, and that is wonderful news. I was at Quaker Steak and Lube, of course, as I am wont to be on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons doing the show with the Dear Goon. My good buddy, the horse, stopped in yesterday and actually opened up the program, with me yesterday. And so we do the program. We're watching intently the Penn State USC baseball game, and I'm hopping in my car after said game ends, and I get a little text from my old pal here, really old pal, Mr. Geezy, and says, "Hey, are you checking out this Board of Trustees me?" I'm like, "Well, no, I've been watching the baseball game, but now that you mention it, I will check it out." And so I checked it out. Now, I intended to then watch the Neely Bendapudi, Penn State President Neely Bendapudi address, which was about an hour after the meeting concluded, and we had a lot going on. I'm just going to leave it at that. We had a lot going on at our house, and so I did not get around as intended to that. Have read a lot of accounts, have seen various clips of the talk, and then some of what I had missed prior with the Board of Trustees meeting. We can certainly talk a lot more about it. I do.
Yes.
This is one of those that's, it's interesting to me because most of the people that voted no are the people I generally support on the board. I'm like, wow, these are the people that I'm usually right in line with. And a few of the people that I generally strongly disagree with and I don't like the lack of transparency and all of that are voting for this. And it's making me uncomfortable.
Oh, is that
I'm
right?
Like, I feel like I'm on the wrong side, but I don't really. And I do understand the passion and the concern, and we had and even the politicians that are like, this is wrong, and we're fighting it. These are the politicians. We had both Dush and Langerholt in here within the last couple of weeks, yeah. And I'm very supportive of both, and I just think in this particular case that ultimately Penn State is doing the right thing. I will say I do share the concerns, and I think they are legitimate concerns, that this it felt like this was rushed in that only in that the information was not, I don't think, given in a timely fashion to allow the board to truly consider all of the different things. And I know there's a lot of discussion and all of that. I think, I guess I'm not seeing what it would hurt to go through the summer continuing to discuss possible alternatives and some of the things that were proposed by other board members yesterday. I'm just not sure I'm understanding what the harm is in, hey, let's just hold off for a few months, see if there are other viable options, whether there are donors out there or some of the other things that were discussed yesterday. And make this just a, you know, I don't know what you would, a tentative, let's table this for 3 months, understanding that clearly it is looking like we're heading in this direction of closing these 7 Commonwealth campuses. I'm just not sure I really understand what the harm was going to be in just waiting 3 months or so and having some further discussion and just seeing if there are some other alternatives. A couple of the arguments for closing that, and I do think Neely Bendapudi, I think she has been tremendous for the university just in general. I think she is sharp as a tack. I think she is very clear in her vision for the future. I think she was handed a very difficult hand to play, and I think she is playing it very deftly. And again, these are not easy times for higher education in general, and Penn State specifically, with as large as the university is and with all of the different moving parts. A couple of things that did strike me, though. And, again, it's just me. It's the way I think. I'm not even saying I'm right on any of this. But a couple of the trustees, and I think it was fair to point out, and we have pointed out, man, Penn State has a lot of Commonwealth campuses, yes, compared to other state universities. And I think Ohio State was mentioned several times yesterday, and Ohio State has 6 branch campuses, campuses for them. Yeah. And Penn State has well over 20. Well, that's fine. I think it's a legitimate point to be made, and I think you can still cover the different areas. However, if I had had the opportunity, I would have raised my hand and, you know what else about some of these other big universities is they don't have 30-plus trustees voting. They have like 9. They have like in some cases 12. If we're going to point to, well, these other universities, we need to be more like them. I mean, we still have more. How about we look at the overall governance? The at one point, Anthony Lebrano was making his case, and they're like, oh, Anthony, you're going on too long. They did the same thing with Barry Fenchack. Barry, gotta wrap it up here. I mean, you're going more than 5 minutes. And they're both like, well, this is a pretty serious issue, and you can't give... Well, we can't give you more than 5 minutes because we got 35 people or whatever it is that we got to go through. Well, do you not see maybe that therein lies the problem? If you had 9 members on your board and they were all elected, you see, you could give them all 10 minutes and we'd still only be at an hour and a half. Just something to maybe ponder, dear bureaucrats.
Good luck with that one.
Who largely groupthink. Now, on this particular issue, we actually did have 25 voting in favor of closing. Some of the people voting in favor, I'm not impressed with. I'll just leave it at that. I'm listening to them, and it's like, I hear the people raising other concerns, and they're too general. But I generally just support what we're going to do. It's like, okay. This is why we have too many board members. We just do. And I get the resume building, I get that it looks good and all of that, and there's some good connections, and it helps leverage some business opportunities for those organizations with the university and all of that. It's too many. We have got to figure out a way to get this board whittled down and held much more accountable than it currently is.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'll take all the luck.
Good luck with that, bud.
All right, let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, my dear boy.
Oh, boy.
Good morning. Good morning.
Here's our opening call. Okay, here we go.
I thought next week.
Whoops.
It's like. Well, yeah. in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because you're talking about groups, I've driven a couple thousand miles over the past week and a half, and I observe, and let me tell you, Philadelphia is a trash hole, and I'm from Philly. and it really, what a mess. And I'm talking about not only the roads, I get so infuriated when we spend trillions of dollars overseas and our roads and our infrastructure is this is an embarrassment. These politicians, and I'm telling you, and I will tell the FBI that, because they're not doing their jobs.
All right, I think we're having a little phone trouble here, because you're breaking up, you're dropping out. And now I think we've lost them totally.
Maybe try back here. Right. Right? Yeah,
see if you can get a clear spot.
Getting a little
trouble,
little in and out there. But
all right, so we're diving right into the deep stuff. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I had an interesting evening. So I started watching this gig at 5:00. Now I haven't seen a story, and I don't think the information's out there. How many people were tuned in to this gig last night? Nobody. Well, I won't say nobody knows. Somebody knows, but it was not publicly out there. All right.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you do a webinar, you do an online meeting, there's a number on the screen that tells you how many people are in the meeting. Well, that number was nowhere to be found last night. I would be just very curious to know how many people were tuned into this thing. 10,000, 50,000, I gotta believe it's a lot. It went for an hour and 45 minutes, and yes, they kind of went through everybody. Now, me being a goof, at 5:30, I had to be on another meeting. This was a personal thing. So on my computer, on Microsoft Teams, I'm watching the trustees. On my phone, on Zoom, I'm in my personal meeting. Folks, multitasking is never a good thing. And I'm doing that for an hour. I'm like going back and forth. But then I caught the vote at the end. My surprise? No. Not surprised at all.
Yeah, I do have a couple of questions. We'll get to the phone call here, but there were a couple of statistics that were brought up, and I just had follow up questions that I thought would be asked during the meeting, and if they were, and I admittedly had to take a couple of calls, and so I was kind of in and out. So maybe this was addressed, and I missed it. But there were a couple of things that were thrown out, and I'm like, I wonder if, and I'll get to those in just a bit.
Well,
again, phone line is again open at 814-954-7266. And we head right to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
I'm sorry, guys. Is that better?
All right.
That is better.
Let's try again. Go ahead.
Okay. In traveling the country, Pennsylvania is the worst for sales. Cell service. Let me tell you.
That is a fact.
I won't argue
it is
that one.
And it's getting worse, at least in our area.
It's getting worse. I can tell you why. State College and Bellefonte are the two most beautiful areas I've ever been in. And I don't live in State College, but around there I do. But let me tell you, I don't know how they do it, but what a beautiful, beautiful city. And I love the people in State College. Even the Democrats are nice, which is shocking. But man, I can't say enough about State. Really, I mean, everything to me is politics.
Oh,
when
boy.
You get out of the bed with your wife, you're arguing with her. That's politics. But Bellefonte, love Bellefonte, one of my favorite cities. Now, as you move on, everything's a crap hole. Even when you look at the major cities where they vote Democrat, and I'm not a Republican because they're too liberal. It reflects who they are, and this is why we're not a democracy, we're a republic. Democracy, and I want to smack people when they say democracy. Democracy is mob rule.
Yep.
If 51% vote, they don't like Scott, and they're going to ship him overseas, they are. We're a constitutional republic governed by law.
Can I go to Italy? I'd like to go to Italy if I get shipped
overseas. I've never been there, but I hear the country's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
But the people are annoying because they can't keep a government together. That's why.
They do have problems there, but the food is awesome.
That is a fact. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm third generation, and I have a very Italian name, and I can't speak Italian because they came over. My grandfather built the railroads in Pennsylvania. My other grandfather was a builder. And that's why they brought Italians over. But they refused to teach us Italian. You're American. You're going to assimilate. What happened to that? And you're going to speak American. It's not English because the English are annoying. But to Scott, Jeff, you were talking about committees. I despise committees. I despise that groupthink. They don't build statues to committees. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, America's first terrorist who killed 600,000 Southerners. He did. He was a terrorist. It wasn't about keeping the Union together. Sure.
Okay.
He murdered 600,000 Southerners over money. The railroad interest. It wasn't about slavery. He didn't like blacks. He wanted to send them back. I'm glad the Union's together, but the point is, we twist history. But you were talking about committees. I always tell people, when you fight each other and you decide what you want to do, you tell me and I'll try to help. But I'm not going to sit there and argue with idiots. Here's how we solve the problem. I figured it out. Get rid of all the lawyers and all the insurance companies. Don't let them have any power whatsoever. Don't ever let a lawyer vote. Don't let them in office. Don't let them run for a judge. Just sit them in their little corner. They think in court that they're the boss. It's like I'm a private pilot. Commercial airliners think they own the air. They don't. You don't. You don't. And commercial truckers think they own the road. These guys will run you over. Where the hell are the cops at? I drove 2,000 miles. I saw 8 cops. I mean, they're doing 85 miles an hour on a 2-lane road when it's raining and foggy and you can't see. What? How are they getting away with that? I'll be real quick here. They're going to build a roadway between Harrisburg and where is it? That road is it Harrisburg and Penn State?
Oh, 10 mile
stretch.
Okay. Yes. Well, not Harrisburg.
It'll be.
It's all in Center County. It's close to State College.
Yeah. You and I will be long dead before that happens, because by the time they try it, these environmentalist nuts. Now, don't allow cell towers, but they allow those ugly windmills that generate electricity on the mountain. That's okay. But they don't allow cell towers to go up that could be hidden. You don't have to see the tower. You can put it in a pole, fly a flag. They don't allow those, so we have terrible service, but they allow those ugly, ugly windmills to generate electricity and kill the birds. That's what they do. They kill birds.
Okay.
These people are nuts. They are nuts. Their power needs to be taken away from them. and forget about these groups, organizations, and committees. That road will never be built. There will be lawsuits galore until the lawyers get paid off. It took 30 years to build the Blue Route. They're still building it. Can you imagine 200 years ago if we had these lunatics, we'd never have railways, we'd never have an infrastructure, nothing would ever have been built, ever. You can't build anything today. You cannot build anything today. You can't put a tower up to serve the community.
You know, you're going to be impacting this. There's a highway interchange zone. There's a free fall zone. These people are nuts. And I'm telling you who I'm going to blame. Them. I'm going to shut up. People over 75, it's your fault. You're not the greatest generation. You're the worst generation. You raised a bunch of idiots.
Oh, boy. Okay.
There you go. All right. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for your call.
The phone call.
Have a good weekend.
They're willing to put up the gigantic windmills, though. That they're okay with. But everything else, I
agree. Now, folks, we call this an open line program. We're not kidding. Open line. So we got to take a break here in a moment.
Yeah.
We got a sports segment. Later on this hour, we'll spend a little time with Pat McCool of the Belfont Cruise. That's coming up, oh my gosh, 3 weeks. All right, and we are honored to be a media sponsor for the cruise.
Yeah, it's going to be not just cool, but it's going to be muckool.
Very. You tell Pat that. All right, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
And then the 9 o'clock hour, again, wide open, wide open. And, yeah, we'll dig more into this fun stuff from yesterday. Yeah, I'm trying to watch one online event. Then I've got two online events. Then I go back to the first online event. Then I had a third online event, which maybe I'll talk about later, which was just an amazing event last night. Not
this
here. This was
World of Ours online.
I mean, I was just interconnected, which is not necessarily a good thing. Let's take that break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Yes, the sun is out, at least here at our studio.
Oh, that's what that is.
That blue sky thing up there. See it? There? That's awesome. All right, we'll do some more awesomeness here on the radio when we come back right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dodder Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is a Friday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Let's Talk, Jeff and Scott with you. A little open phone time coming up later in this morning's big show. But it is time for us to take a check of the sports scene from yesterday and, you know, preview the weekend ahead. By the way, little programming note. Well, actually, let's save. We'll have a bunch of programming notes. We'll get to those in just a little bit. Start with Penn State baseball. The Nittany Lions advancing to the Big Ten semifinals with a dramatic 2-1 win over USC. To wrap up pool play yesterday in the Big Ten tournament, junior catcher Nate Voss, a.k.a. The Beast, blasted a home run in the top of the ninth to break a 1-1 tie.
Very beastly.
You've got to feed the beast. Nate Voss was well fed in the ninth inning yesterday. You can feed your beast thanks to the Center Hall Farm Store. They have the appropriate feed, whether your beast is a horse, a cow, a pig, whether it be a dog or a cat. Maybe you have chickens. Maybe you want to feed the outdoor birds. Whatever beast it is that you're looking to feed, the Center Hall Farm Store can help you feed the beast, and the Center Hall Farm Store can also help you grow this spring. You can check them out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall, and you can also get all of the information that you need at CenterHallFarmStore.com. So, again, it is Nate Voss blasting the tie-breaking home run in the top of the ninth. He did it with two outs in the top of the ninth. Bryce Molinaro had an RBI single in the first inning that scored Paxton Kling, and the Trojans got their run on an RBI double by Braden Dowd in the second inning. Again, two outs in the top of the ninth, Voss hitting an 0-1 breaking ball to the left field bleachers for what would be the winning run. Chase Renner shut things down in the ninth to earn the save. Diamond loosely got the victory. He pitched 2 1/3 innings of scoreless relief for the Nittany Lions. Penn State now 33-22 on the season. The 33 wins are the second most in program history, behind only the 45-win season in 2000. The Nittany Lions will face the winner of today's game, or tonight's game, really, between top-seeded Oregon and 8th-seeded Nebraska. Now, keep in mind, again, Nebraska the 8th-seed, Oregon the 1-seed, but where is the tournament? Well, that's in Omaha. You think Nebraska might be a little more comfortable there? The winner of that game tonight, that'll get underway at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Winner of that game, again, is into the semifinals tomorrow at 3 o'clock against the Nittany Lions. The championship game will then be at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. All of the action, of course, at Charles Schwab Field in Omaha, Nebraska. Good luck to the Nittany Lions tomorrow. They are now two wins away from an NCAA tournament berth. Former Penn State baseball player David Lee has signed a contract with the Colorado Rockies to join the team's minor league system. I know. It's the Rockies.
They need all the help they can get.
Lee pitched for the Nittany Lions in 2024 as a reliever, earning three saves in 24 2/3 innings. He had spent the first 4 years of his collegiate career at California University of Pennsylvania. In his 23 appearances for Penn State, Lee let up 32 hits and 23 earned runs as a key member of the pitching staff last season, which was, of course, Mike Gambino's first year. as Penn State head coach. Lee remained in Happy Valley, you may remember, last summer, and pitched for the State College Spikes. He had a 1.93 earned run average in 14 innings pitched. By the way, the Spikes will begin their home schedule on June 6th, just around the corner.
Not far.
Penn State men's lacrosse team is in Foxborough, Massachusetts. They arrived yesterday, and tomorrow the Nittany Lions will square off with top-ranked Cornell in the NCAA semifinals. The fifth-seeded Nittany Lions are in the Final Four for just the third time in program history, but for the second time in 3 years. The Nittany Lions are 12-4 on the season, while top-seeded Cornell is 16-1. Penn State won the regular season meeting between the two back on March 8th in overtime at Cornell, 13-12. Tomorrow's game will get underway at 12 noon, and we will have the game for you right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, at 12 noon tomorrow. The second game tomorrow will have Maryland going against Syracuse at 2:30. We will also have live coverage of the championship game on Memorial Day Monday at 12:45, with the game getting underway at 1 p.m. And, you know, it'll be Penn State against the winner of that Maryland-Syracuse game is what we are presuming at this particular point.
Okay, there you go.
All right, again, tomorrow, noon, Penn State men's lacrosse right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Couple of other programming notes. We'll have Pirates results coming up here, but the Bucks will be back in action against the Brewers tonight. Airtime is 6:15 here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Tomorrow's lineup, we'll have the Keystone Kickoff Show, a re-airing of Jim Galante's program, from 7 to 8 tomorrow morning. That'll be followed by Jed Donahue and the Pennsylvania Sports Network from 8 to noon. And then again, we'll have Penn State Cornell men's lacrosse in the NCAA semifinals at noon. And then at 3:40 tomorrow afternoon, it'll be the Pirates taking on the Brewers at PNC Park. And you can listen for me. I'll try to yell out, "Hey! Hi, everybody listening on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's me, your old pal Ironhead." I'll yell really loud. And actually, if the crowds remain the same, you might be able to hear me the radio on Saturday. Keep an ear out for that. On Sunday, the Pirates and Brewers will wrap up that series. That'll be a 1:10 airtime. And programming note, no Let's Talk show on Monday.
Hey!
It's Memorial Day.
Thank you.
A wonderful holiday. Great time to get out and enjoy, you know, the burgers and dogs and all of that.
And,
but also,
and
folks,
sleep.
Yeah, also take a little time, if you would, on Monday to think about Memorial Day, what it means, and the people that sacrificed their life, gave up their life. Think about that a little bit, for us to have the opportunity to enjoy all that this great nation has to offer. Just a little time. There's a lot of wonderful ceremonies around the area. Bullsburg, of course, the rightful birthplace of Memorial Day, will have festivities and activities going on throughout the week, including weekend, including the commemorations of the fallen soldiers in the evening. I think that gets underway at 6 o'clock on Monday. So, again, no programming here. We'll have basically Fox Sports throughout the day, except for the men's lacrosse national championship game, airtime 12:45 on Monday. And then Pirates baseball will open up a series in Arizona against the Diamondbacks, and that'll be a 7:45 airtime on Monday. And then, you know, we'll be back in our normal position at our normal time on Tuesday morning with our next edition of Let's Talk. All right, let's get back to some other sports news. The Nittany Lion lacrosse team did earn Three more All-America honors yesterday afternoon from USILA. Senior Matt Trainer and freshman Hunter Aquino were both third-team selections, and junior Alex Ross is an honorable mention All-American. That same trio earning USA Lacrosse Magazine and Inside Lacrosse All-America status earlier this month. Trainer adding to a long list of awards he is garnering here in the postseason. The senior captain named the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year, and he is a top 25 finalist for the T. Wharton Award, which is the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy for men's lacrosse. All right, District 6 AAA softball semifinal action. Both games scheduled yesterday, as you might imagine, postponed, and now will be played today. Second-seeded Bald Eagle Area will host sixth-seeded Marion Center this afternoon. First pitch in Wingate is scheduled for 4 o'clock. Ninth-seeded Phillipsburg Osceola, one win away from the PIAA State Tournament. The Lady Mounties will play at fourth-seeded Central Cambria at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Again, today's winners assured of a spot in the PIAA Tournament field and will also play a week from today in the District 6 AAA Championship game next Friday. Also on Tuesday, the State College softball team will play a 6A sub-regional game at 3 p.m. against Erie McDowell State High, winning, of course, the District 6 6A Championship. The Quad A sub-regional game between District 6 champion Belfont and Carrick will be played at Mount Alabama Wishes as well at 5:30 on Tuesday. State College baseball team will take on Erie McDowell in the PIAA 6A sub-regional on Tuesday at Mercyhurst University. And the Belfont baseball team will play Obama Academy in the 4A sub-regionals on Tuesday at 4 p.m. also at Mount Aloysius. 31 individual entries and a relay team from Penn State Track and Field have qualified and declared for the 2025 NCAA Track and Field Championships. The official announcement made yesterday, that group will begin competition at the East Region Preliminaries in Jacksonville, Florida, this coming Wednesday, May 28th. Events will run through next Saturday, May 31st. The Penn State women's squad declaring 16 individual entries that will take part in 9 events throughout the week in Jacksonville. Florence Karen will enter the competition as the highest-ranked individual qualifier for the Nittany Lions. She is 5th in the East Region in the 10,000 meters and 6th in the East Region in the 5,000 meters. Karen is fresh off a Big Ten runner-up performance in the 10,000 meters and a bronze medal finish in the 5,000 meters at the Big Ten Championships. Victoria Atkinson in the pole vault and Audrey Friedman in the javelin lead the field qualifiers for the Penn State women. Both are 25th in the East Region in their respective events. The men's team for Penn State declaring 15 individual entries and a relay team that will compete in Jacksonville next week. These 16 total entries will compete in 10 different events. Three-time first-team All-American Handel Robin looks to punch another ticket to Oregon as Penn State's highest individual qualifier. Comes in at number 4 in the East Region in the 800 meters. High jumper Isaac Osifo is the Nittany Lions' highest-ranked field qualifier. He is 6th in the East Region. NCAA East preliminary participants will compete for a shot to move on to the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Will be held June 11th through the 14th in Eugene, Oregon. The top 12 in each event and relay at the prelims will earn the opportunity to compete for a championship in June at Hayward Field. Some football news. Penn State defensive end Abdul Carter, well, I guess now former Penn State defensive end Abdul Carter has signed his rookie deal with the New York Giants, according to NFL insider Adam Schefter. I call him Shefty. The deal includes a fifth-year option. That's because all rookie deals include a fifth-year option. The contract is worth a fully guaranteed. I've seen it being reported that it's $45.3 million. No. It is a fully guaranteed $45,255,180.23. I'm making up the 23 cents part. The rest of it is accurate. Carter was the third overall pick in this year's draft, and yeah, that's pretty good coin if you can get it.
Abdul, can I get the $180 part?
Well, that'd you know, be nice. You never know.
We talk about you a lot. Send us the $180.
We love you, Abdul. There we you. Love you. Cornerback Jazeer Hart from Roanoke, Virginia, is the latest commitment to the Penn State football team's 2026 recruiting class. Hart reportedly choosing the Nittany Lions over Michigan, Tennessee, and Notre Dame. He is rated as the 13th best player in Virginia and is ranked as the 44th best cornerback prospect in the 2026 class, that according to the 247 Sports composite rankings. Also, former Penn State hockey defenseman Jason Gallucci has found his new home after entering the transfer portal after this past season. The freshman this past year with Penn State is heading north to play at Canisius. Gallucci spent his first year of eligibility at Penn State and still has 3 years of eligibility remaining. Ladies and gentlemen, let the celebration begin. Where I didn't cue up the celebration music as I should have done. Folks, you're not going to believe this. And if you have not heard the news, I mean, just sit down for a moment.
Hold on, we got to pull up.
Perhaps if you were on the road, this would be a good time to pull over and give yourself a moment. Because, I mean, every now and then you get stunning news. And I think this qualifies as stunning news. Ladies and gentlemen, your Pittsburgh Pirates, as heard right here on Sports Radio 98.7 last night, not only scored a run, which these days we celebrate in Pittsburgh, they not only scored two, they not only scored three runs.
No way.
They not only scored four runs. Ladies and gentlemen, they have done it.
Oh, my gosh.
They said it couldn't be done. The Pirates said, oh, yes, it can. They scored five runs in one game.
Oh, my God.
Last night.
Wow.
If you've not been paying attention, the Pirates had gone 26 consecutive games with scoring four runs or fewer. That ties a major league record.
Is that right?
The Pirates, going into the ninth inning last night, looked like they might break that record and have it all to themselves because they had only scored three runs to that point in the game. But Pittsburgh put up two more runs in the bottom of the ninth. Yes, sir, the Pittsburgh Pirates with five runs in the game last night.
Won the game.
The celebration in Pittsburgh today, there will be a parade. Well, no, they gave up eight runs and they lost 8-5. But five runs, though.
That's
easy.
Really?
Five runs in one game.
But don't give up eight.
Well, yeah, that was that was the bad part.
Come on.
They did lose
don't
the game.
Give
but,
up eight.
But five runs.
Five whole runs.
I mean, woohoo! yeah, the offense, again, let's focus on the positive in Pittsburgh. Five whole runs. Again, I know what you're thinking. All right, that's a pretty good series for Pittsburgh. No, this was one game, folks. They still have three more. Folks, they could get to double-digit runs in the series.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they've got three games where if they get five runs total over the next three games,
wow,
that would be 10 runs in one series. This is the type of offensive explosion that is occurring in Pittsburgh right now. We are very, very excited in the Berg to see if this offensive onslaught can continue. Christian Yelich had a couple of home runs for the Brewers. The second game of that four-game series will be tonight at PNC Park. First pitch will be at 6:40. Airtime at 6:15 here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Phillies, meanwhile, completed a four-game sweep of the Rockies with a 2-0 win yesterday. Philadelphia taking full advantage of playing the Pirates and Rockies. And yes, they now have a seven-game win streak going into tonight's game against the Athletics. The Athletics, you know, once at Oakland and the future in Las Vegas, they'll be playing tonight at Riley Field at Sutter Health Park in West Sacramento. Just the Athletics. Okay. Not Oakland, not Las Vegas, no. Just the Athletics. Right. And the College Football Playoff Management Committee has announced that they are going to modify the seeding and bye policies of the 12-team playoffs for the upcoming season. We may talk more about this in the next hour, but they're just going to seed the top four teams. It's not going to be by conference champion.
Good.
Now, the four conference champions will still get into the tournament. That is guaranteed. But they won't get an automatic top four seed. So it'll be the committee's determination of the top four teams, and that is who will be seeded 1 through 4 in the college football playoffs in the upcoming season. We'll take a break and be right back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include WTAJ, Five Star Power Sports, Snyder's Concessions, Krep Service and Sales, Courthouse Pub, and Fullington Trailways.
Senator John Fetterman raised concerns about aggressive vehicle mandates, and he's right. Pennsylvanians need affordable, reliable transportation. No one should tell us what we can and can't drive. Mandates could limit consumer choice, raise costs, and threaten Pennsylvania jobs. Senator Fetterman can protect working families and defend our economy. Tell Senator Fetterman to stand up for Pennsylvania. Repeal the gas car ban. Take action at EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a Watkins 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Springs spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now or visit our booth at the Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkins 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of Hot Springs spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Belfont Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Dotter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
It's Let's Talk here on a good looking and it's a comfortable. I like these mornings. On a Friday, as we kick off the four-day party weekend, and we do so in style. We'll have some open phone time coming up in the next hour. But before then, we have a guest who's not only cool. See, I'm going to stick with it.
Geez.
He's muckle. see what I did there? How cool was that?
Pat, do you want to claim that title, muckle? I don't know. It's up to you. Your call.
My father had a trike, and on the back of it, he had two license plates. One said cool, and the other said McCool.
See?
Oh, well, you're on to something.
I like it.
Very nice. Our friend Pat McCool of the Belfont Cruise, which is, that'll be a cool weekend.
That's only three weeks off.
Actually, it's a little less than 3 weeks. Even as far as that goes, it's our Father's Day weekend in Belfont, like everybody enjoys.
Now, Pat, we're going to be talking to you also the next, I guess, couple of Fridays leading up to the big weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought for today, let's kind of, how do I phrase this? Let's concentrate on the old and the new. All right, what am I talking about? Let's start with the old. All right, let's say there are some folks maybe that are new to the neighborhood. They're not familiar with the Belfont Cruise. They don't know what it is. They don't know how it started, any of that stuff, okay? Pat, let's give a history lesson of sorts. All right? The Belfont Cruise is Father's Day weekend in 3 weeks. For folks who aren't familiar, they're from out of town or something, I don't know. What is this? And give us a little history of the cruise. Where did this come from?
Well, it actually came from back in days when, the 60s and 70s, where if you wanted to meet the girls, you had to go where they were, and everybody congregated in Belfont and used to really tie the town up. I mean, it would take you 45 minutes just to drive through Belfont. And they actually ended up banning that in the 70s. And once they banned cruising, so to speak, like a lot of towns did, a couple of the guys got together and said, hey, let's start a car show in memory of this. And that's basically what was done. Jack Hauser was one of the instrumental ones that I'm familiar with. In fact, we actually give out a Jack Hauser Best of Show Award at the show for commemorating that. It's a really good thing. We actually have a very close friend of Jack's, Gary, him and his wife, Gary Henry, they actually sponsor that trophy and have since Jack passed away every year. I mean, they're great people, and they think so much about it, but the main thing is it's become a fundraiser for the community. Basically, all the profits or proceeds, so to speak, either go right back into the show or purchase things throughout the community, like park benches, bike racks. This year, the town was in need of some of what they call those jersey barriers. Well, we actually kicked some funds in there with our mother organization, Historic Belfont Incorporated, and they kicked in too, so we were able to get the borough some of those jersey barriers for safety for everybody, and they'll be able to be used for all the events that go on in town and stuff. So there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of people that come to me every year and, you know, make mention of the fact that they actually take vacation to come back to Bellefonte. They had moved away or something, and they just enjoy it so much that this is where they vacation.
Pat, I have a couple of young teenagers texting me. They just want to clarify that this cruising concept from the 60s and 70s. So they would drive around and meet these girls from the dating sites online. They would meet them in their vehicles. Is that what you're saying? That they're confused about this whole thing.
Yeah, well, that's the key. I mean, I'm sure you guys remember the same as myself back in those days. You know, the only way you're going to meet, there was no social apps or anything like that there. So it was face-to-face meeting. And that would tie up the traffic quite often because you'd be passing by somebody and you stop with your windows down and you're talking back and forth and that type of stuff. So it was quite a thing. I mean, I actually remember going in before I was even old enough to drive just to hang out in the streets during the show. It was usually on Friday and Saturday evenings, and I have to say, it was quite the dilemma, and it's transitioned into this car show that we do, an open cruise on Friday night where everybody can come in, go around. Huge, you would say, probably a parade-type atmosphere. And what I mean by that is the streets are lined with people and chairs and so forth, and even some of the participants bring a little candy to toss out to the kids and stuff. And you get to see some great classic cars. I mean, it's just unreal.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I don't remember the online element.
Huh.
You got that wrong.
We have these teenagers that are very, very confused. I'll try to explain to them what you folks are saying.
I mean, when I was a kid, online would have meant like I'm hanging on a wash line or something, all right? That would be online.
Huh.
I mean, what, Pat, I should know this. What year did the cruise, this event, what year did this event start? I can't remember.
Yep, now you're being a trick to me here. Now you're forcing me to have to pull out my notes on that one. I can tell you this. This is our 36th year, which technically is our 37th because, obviously, with the pandemic, we missed it.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go.
Well, let's put it this way. I guess it was 1989 because I'm actually looking at a poster from the second answer that somebody actually brought me as a gift to the cruise committee.
All right. Now, again, for those youngsters out there, all right, they don't even know what cruising is because, again, Pat, you mentioned it. You know, decades ago, State College did it, Bellefonte did it, other towns did it. No cruising. Stop. You know, against the law. You know, against the law. All that sort of thing. All right. So this is you get in your car and you would drive, you know, sort of in a loop. All right. Now, Pat, for this cruise, what is the loop? Where is the loop?
Well, the loop basically is Allegheny Street in front of the courthouse, over to Lynn Street, down Lynn Street to Spring Street, Spring Street back to Bishop Street, Bishop Street to Allegheny Street. Basically a four-block area that, I mean, it's going to be lined with cars like you can't believe. I actually, several years back, I'm always in there on the golf cart, running around doing things and putting out fires, so to speak. And one of the things that I did, I got this bright idea, I'm going to go out and go around the cruise. Took me 45 minutes to get halfway around. I said, nope, I'm getting out of this. But that's a lot of what it was like. But it was a huge face-to-face social atmosphere. Like today, you know, they're always on TikTok, Facebook, whatever. And that was the way you met people back then, before there was any means of social media or that type of stuff. Was you go in there and you meet people from out of town. I mean, people would come from Lewistown, people would come from Lock Haven, those type places, and lock the block and meet the people in Bellefonte, and the younger teenagers type. And, of course, there was always the mischievous ones in there as well.
No, that didn't happen.
Now, those Pat, those streets you mentioned, I mean, was that the loop back in the day? Was that the route? Or is this a route just for this event?
Well, it's the route for this event, but that was pretty much the same basic route that they took then. The only difference back then was occasionally about half of the people would take the shortcut, which was Howard Street, but we actually put a food court on Howard Street and lots of food vendors there, so that's why we extended the loop over to Lynn Street.
All right. Now, again, I think I mentioned when we chatted a week ago, I've got a rather beat-up 2008 car. I could show up for the cruise, which is on Friday. I'm drawing a blank on a day. The 13th. Okay, thank you. I'm looking at a calendar and I can't read it. I could show up in my kind of beat up 2008 car and get in the cruise and do the loop. And in other words, anybody can do the loop in 3 weeks?
Yep, it's what we call an open cruise, so it's wide open. I mean, one of the nice things about it, too, you'll get to see cars that basically don't go to car shows. The people just want to bring them in and show them off, so to speak, and show their handiwork with them. I mean, it's quite the atmosphere. I mean, it's almost overwhelming, actually.
Yeah.
In terms of people and just the fun that people are having, and everybody gets stacked up. And then come around 7:30, we actually stop the cruise, block off Allegheny Street, and we'll have a big stage there where we do our sock hop. And this year we got Bruno Nessi, Elvis impersonator, one of the top five in the world, and he puts on a great show. He'll be there doing Elvis on Friday evening from basically 7:30 till 10:30.
Wow. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. We got some giveaways and stuff. We'll be giving out stuff to the crowd. Of course, thanking all of our sponsors. You know, this would not be possible without all these great sponsors that we had. You know, like Rice Market's been on board for many years, Easton Auto Sales down in Lamar, just different ones like that. This year we have three event sponsors, WTAJ, the Happy Valley Venture Bureau, and Five Star Power Sports. They're all on board as event sponsors, so it's been growing and growing. And each year, like last year, we almost doubled in size. We had just under 600 show cars there.
Cool.
So we're expecting a bigger crowd this year.
Holy mackerel, 600 cars. Oh, my gosh, that's a lot. Okay.
I had to figure out how you're going to park 600 cars when there's only, I think, 69 parking spaces in Dauphin.
I was about to ask, because I'm thinking the streets in Dauphin. I'm like, all right, is there a parking garage around here? I don't remember seeing one. Holy moly. Well, Pat, I tell you what, thanks for the time. Now, again, you're going to join us the next couple of Fridays leading up to the big event. We're really looking forward to it. The Belfont Cruise, which is Father's Day weekend, 13th and 14th. So, Pat, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. I appreciate it greatly and looking forward to speaking with you.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.
That is super cool. Pat McCool.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Belfont Cruise.
Hardly way. What a fun, fun event. Fun weekend. Just, it is nice to have these community events where folks can just get together and just enjoy a couple of days. Just being out, being about. Again, great entertainment. Some of the cars are just spectacular.
Yeah.
And I am certainly not a car aficionado. I have some friends that really are. And I love being around them because we were talking yesterday about the passion for sports, passion for this and that. Man, there are people that are passionate about cars, and especially some of the upkeep and taking care of some of these older cars, and love showing them off. And even as a non-car aficionado, It is cool to see them, and it is even cooler to talk to people about them. And that passion does rub us. It's like, oh yeah, man, this is this is super cool. They give you the history of the car, of the, you know, the what all they have done to preserve it and you know, maintain the upkeep and all of that. Just a really neat opportunity. But again, if nothing else, you just get to be out and about in the community with other human beings. There's something to be said for that. And I can hardly wait for that weekend to get here. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
All right. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have an open line hour. Yeah, the Penn State stuff. And if we can squeeze in a few other things.
Yeah.
And, of course, your calls. Very important. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. Don't cruise away. Come back here. We'll be right back after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Bellefonte Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Bellefonte, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BellefonteCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, Five Star Mitsubishi, Wetzler Funeral Home, Sleep In and Comfort Suites, Carson Disposal, Best Line Power Sports, and WTAJ.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from PAMP.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
kicking off the holiday weekend. See what I did there? This is Madonna's holiday.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. It is the four-day party weekend, therefore. Thank you, Madonna. Appreciate Madonna stopping by the studio just to sing the bump music to get us back here at 9. You have a good weekend, Madonna. We'll see you later. Appreciate it. She is now exiting the station.
Okay.
Always good to see Madonna. Phone line is open.
Selfies.
814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. I just have a question, and I think I know the answer, but I just, if somebody out there knows and can just verify, one of the things that was discussed, and it was brought up several times, including by President Neely Bendapudi, was the graduation rates at these seven Commonwealth campuses. Now, this wasn't the reason for the closing of these campuses, and in fact, some of them, a few of them had very good graduation rates. I just want to clarify if the graduation rate, because every now and then, like there was a time, and I think this now has changed because of the transfer portal stuff, but like if a student athlete came to Penn State and then left after their sophomore year and went and graduated from Syracuse, Penn State got no credit for graduating that individual. It's like, well, that's a person that didn't graduate from Penn State. They came in and they didn't graduate. I think that the graduation rates at these Commonwealth campuses are whether or not the students graduated, period, from Penn State or another university. I just if anybody knows that for sure, or if like a lot of students will go 2 years at a Commonwealth campus and then matriculate to University Park, I am presuming that those would count then toward the graduation rates for like the Wilkes-Barre campus. If you spent 2 years at Wilkes-Barre and then 2 years at University Park, that the graduation rate for Wilkes-Barre, that graduated student would get counted as, yes, that is a successful graduate from Wilkes-Barre. I am presuming that, but I don't know that for sure. And I didn't hear, if that was explained yesterday, I missed it. It was interesting to hear the numbers because it is a little concerning, just forgetting the closure component of it. Again, I think University Park graduates over 85% of the students that come into University Park within, I think it's 6 years that they're giving here as the time period that they get their degree. Dubois and York were in very good shape in that regard, and I think Wilkes-Barre was over, or around 70% of its students. But the one that stood out was Shenango. Now, this was a 4-year graduation rate, so I don't know if, like, it goes up drastically if you go 5 or 6 years, and I'd be curious about that, but the 4-year graduation rate that was cited yesterday for Shenango was 25.7. Well, that is concerning. Three out of every four students that start at Shenango don't get their degree, at least within the 4 years, and I think the numbers didn't advance significantly with the 5 or the 6 year numbers from Shenango. And so, again, I just want to get clarification on what factors into the graduation rates, but then also, like, what is there any thought process? I mean, that is a pretty wide variance within different campuses of, like, up near 90% at some campuses, and then I think Shenango was the lowest, at less than 26%. I basically 1 in 4, graduating in a 4-year period anyway from, the Shenango campus. Like, are we pinning that on, man, there's just lousy professors there? Is there something happening with the students and that, where it's like, yeah, we've, you know, that area? I'm just genuinely curious. I never saw or heard any explanation. I think three of them, just trying to go back through the numbers here, I think it was Fayette, New Kensington, and Chenango. Yes. Those three all have graduation rates. This is four-year graduation rates of under 50%, which, again, ought to be concerning regardless of the closure component. Like that, why are those campuses struggling that much to get their student bodies to graduate and finish up? And I'm just genuinely curious. I didn't see anything that, hey, and this is why this is happening. And maybe they don't know why. It just seems odd to me that you would have that much of a variance within different campuses of the same university.
Well, I mean, every kid that goes to college doesn't graduate. We know that. That's never changed. Some kids go to college and realize, you know what, this isn't for me. I want to go get a job or join the military or something. This isn't my gig, all right? Or, I don't know, you go to a campus like, oh, this campus isn't what I thought it was. I think maybe I want to go over here, all right? I mean, I had a daughter that did that. She started at one school, and after about like a year and a half, she decided, no, this isn't right for me. I'm going to switch to another school. And she did, and she did very well, and she's a big success since then. Good for her. That dad was happy. All right, there we go. I don't know, maybe that's something to do with it. You go to a branch campus that primarily has a two-year program, and you get in there for a year, and you're like, this just isn't my thing. Where maybe if you come up here, where primarily I think there are four-year programs, you are more likely to stick. All right, I'm just surmising here, all right? I mean, my opinion hasn't changed, and this is one man's opinion. I still think the Old Main, all right, the brass, they want more students coming here, not to these other places. Nothing wrong with the other places. They want more kids coming to State College here, home base, if you will. Now, again, if somebody knows better, like, Scott, that's totally wrong. That's why we have a phone, 814-954-7266. But when I look at all the building and the renovating and the things they're doing, you know, here, it just seems like I think they want to, if they had their druthers, they'd like to pull more kids here. And so if you, you know, close several of the branch campuses, you don't want to lose the kids. You want them to be Penn Staters. Okay, bring them here. All right, just that. I mean, it was an interesting event last night. Out of sheer curiosity, how many people tuned in last night? I'd like to know that. Somebody at Old Main knows. Somebody had a counter, but we couldn't see it if you tuned in last night. I mean, how many thousands of people tuned into that gig last night? And if you watched it, I mean, it was interesting viewing, okay? I mean, you know, online stuff, Penn State uses Microsoft Teams. I'm more apt for Zoom. I'm a Zoom guy. There are several other ones out there, okay? And, of course, this stuff has just exploded in the last 5 years. I mean, tons and tons of people now are doing webinars and all these other fancy titles for these, you know, things. So you would think after 5 years of this, I mean, just, this is Scott, I'm a bit of a media geek, okay? And so I'm watching this thing last night, I'm thinking, okay, some of these people understand online meetings, some of them maybe really still don't. Like their camera angle. There was one person, his webcam was like tipped up, and so as he's talking, it was a guy, as he's talking, I'm seeing kind of the room behind him, and his little head is down near the bottom of the screen.
Oh.
I'm like, buddy, you want to readjust your webcam there? You look ridiculous, okay? Like a disembodied head. I'm thinking, what the heck? There was one, you know, most of the people last night,
They were sitting in whatever room they were sitting in, probably at, I'm assuming, at their home. And so you could see stuff behind them and so on. Some of them did the old blur the background gig. Okay. Mr. Kleppinger, who is the chairman of the trustees, he had to put a background behind him, big Penn State background behind him. I'm thinking, all right, that looks a little corny. And it's one of these where, I mean, you know, if you're familiar with green screen technology, which I do some of that stuff just for fun, a good green screen, you can't tell there's a green screen behind you. You can't. It looks like you're there. But some of this newer stuff, I mean, you turn your head and there's this gray blob there, and then there's another gray blob. Somebody needs to let Mr. Kleppinger know, buddy, get rid of the background. You don't need the background. Some guy had a background, looked like he was out in the middle of the woods. I'm thinking, pal, what are you, we interrupt your vacation or something? What the heck is that? So, I mean, that was kind of interesting. Some people did not turn their cameras on.
Yeah.
Now, Anthony Lebrano didn't turn his camera on. Matt McGloin, the former football star, didn't turn his camera on. I'm like, what, you guys didn't shave today? Come on, turn your camera on. What's the big deal? All right, let's see. And that's interesting because think about this. I bet the gigantic majority of people that tuned into that thing last night, number one, they've never seen any of these trustees because all they are is a name. They're a name, you know, blah, blah, appointed by so-and-so, this, you know, state group or some such thing. So it was interesting. You actually had a chance to see most of these people last night. These are people that are just names. They actually had a chance to see them. And, yes, some of them do online stuff well, and some of them, no offense, Mr. Kleppinger, you kind of stumbled all over the place. All right, not very smooth, not video savvy and all that sort of stuff, okay? Now, Dr. Bendapudi did a brief address early in the trustees meeting, which I wasn't expecting that. We all knew she was going to give an address afterwards. That was announced.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I did not watch that address. Now, that one was actually recorded. And if you do a little web searching, you can find the link and you can watch Dr. Bendapudi's address later in the evening. I think it goes for like 15 minutes. But she did a presentation early in the trustees meeting, and I think roughly what she said in both was, I think, roughly the same. I think it was roughly the same stuff. But Dr. Bendapudi comes on. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was just going to be trustees. She comes on. She makes a good case, I would say. You know, as she's talking. And, of course, she's not talking to the trustees. She's talking to all the other people tuning in watching this gig. The trustees have already heard from her. Nothing new there. And, again, we've mentioned this before. You know, Dr. Bendapudi comes at this from a business angle, not a so-called academic angle. And those are two different angles. Penn State's past leaders, I would call them academic people. And not to knock academics, but they're not business people. They're just not. And so, yeah, we approve this. Yeah, we approve this. Yeah, we approve that. Yeah, we approve that. So when you look at it that way, it's not a surprise, really, that Penn State has a deficit. We had some free-spending former Penn State leaders. Dr. Bendapudi comes in, immediately understands, okay, we got to change some things here. Business-wise, this is not working. And actually, let me pull this up. Brandon Short, the former Penn State football star, is a trustee, and he put out something last evening, a big long letter, okay? And maybe several of the trustees did that last night. I'm not sure. But I've got Mr. Short's letter, and in his letter, he says, Penn State is not a business, and our objective is not profitability. I thoroughly disagree with that angle. That's why Penn State is in a financial problem to begin with. Penn State is a business. It is not just a school. If you can't pay the bills, you got a problem. And for a while, Penn State hasn't been able to pay the bills. And some of these branch campuses have, in a sense, have not been able to pay the bills. And so from a business perspective, when you're in a business and you have a situation like that, probably one of the first things you do some consolidating. Like, okay, we got to pull our spending back in. This is not working. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to cut 1,000 jobs. I'm thinking like a business. We're going to have to cut 1,000 jobs, and we're going to have to close down this plant over here and close this office over there. Businesses do this all the time. Penn State is a business. Any school, State College School District is a business. Penns Valley, Bellefonte, all the other ones. And so when I saw, you know, Brandon Schwartz quote, this is not a business. Yes, it is. It's a business, and it's time to start running it as such. Otherwise, you're going to keep digging this hole deeper. So I read that line. I'm like, Brandon, buddy, no, okay? That's wrong. That's just wrong. Now, afterwards last evening, some of the people, or maybe all of the people who voted no, had their own separate, I don't know, media event or media conference or something like that, where they, you know, spoke their views. I guess, Mr. Ironhead, a thought I have right now, is this actually over? I'm wondering if it, maybe this isn't quite over yet. Now, we're going into a holiday weekend, so, you know, maybe a whole lot isn't going to happen today. Monday's a holiday. I want to see next week if certain groups or individuals decide to, you know, fight this somehow. I had the comment yesterday, and this was a Philadelphia Inquirer story from a day or two ago. Can't remember now. I don't have it in front of me. Where some state lawmakers from Harrisburg who are in these, we'll call them affected areas, you know, these campuses, these seven campuses are in their district or zone or whatever, essentially, you know, a few of them coming out and saying, all right, Penn State, you close these campuses. Next time you come asking us for money, money might not be here. Whoa, that's an interesting little threat. All right, how many folks are going to try to duke this out, or is this just going to happen? I don't know. You have a vibe on that? What do you think?
I don't. I don't think anybody knows. That's a couple of trustees mentioned that last night. We're not sure, but have you thought about this, those that are voting in favor, that the possibility here is that, you know, the state legislature is looking at the money that it ascribes to Penn State as, hey, this is going to be meted out among these campuses and these students, and now you have these fewer campuses, these fewer students. Maybe the state says it makes sense then to cut by a small percentage, but cut rather than continue to increase the spending that Penn State gets from the state. And everybody admittedly don't know, it's just a possibility.
So the question is this over yet? And maybe the answer is not yet. Now, these other entities may try to do something and probably will come up short because these are Penn State campuses run by Old Main, run by the Board of Trustees. They had their vote last night. Done. Okay. I mean, Dr. Bendapudi, I saw her address early in the trustees meeting, not the later one. Again, I'm fairly certain they were pretty much the same address, same information. Again, Dr. Bendapudi, looking at this as a business person, and we've talked about this on the show before, she has to think not only about right now, she has to think about 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now. That's part of her job as the Penn State president, not just for the right now. And we've talked about the so-called enrollment cliff, which means the number of people going to colleges and universities essentially starting now is going to start going down because there are simply fewer people. All right? The 08-09 recession did a number on things. And for whatever reason, across the country, but definitely here in Pennsylvania, believe me, with my old job, this one hit me right in the wallet. People are having fewer kids. They just are. Where they might have used to have three or four kids in a family, now maybe they have two. All right, well, that means at some point, the number of future college goers starts going down. That's supposed to start right about now. Frankly, I think it's already started. I think it started, you know, a while back. Yeah, go to most high schools, school districts. private schools, they'll tell you, yeah, our numbers have been going down for a number of years now. And that's only going to continue. Well, if that's only going to continue, all right, any business would say, okay, we got to pull things in here a little bit because we got fewer customers. So we unfortunately need to do this, that, and the other thing. Well, are you going to do it now? Or are you going to do it 5 years from now when the hole is even deeper? And that's almost inevitable. Oh, some guy mentioned, hey, if we had private donors and $18 million, I think, was mentioned, and while we had somebody willing to give $18 million. Well, first off, that's great. Are they going to give $18 million every year? Well, of course not. All right? No. This isn't just for the now. This is 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now. And any responsible business person has to think about that long-term stuff. Well, that's Dr. Ben DePudi's job. So Mrs. Scott, I mentioned that. They made the right call. All right? Penn State is spread too thin, has been spread too thin, especially when you have other campuses essentially next door to this campus. All right? Now, that's not the case maybe with all seven, but it is with most of them. And so they had to make a business decision, and they did, like any other business out there. It's sad. Will some of those Penn State professors not be able to find a spot maybe at a nearby campus? Maybe. That part I don't know. All right. I'm thinking about Rockview, the prison. If they would actually close the prison, allegedly, all the people that work with Rockview can get a job at another facility. Yeah, you got to drive to go find it. Okay, and I question if all the people at Rockview would somehow be able to find another job at a facility. I don't think so. And Quijana, all right? So we'll take a break in a moment. Now, folks, if you have a thought on this, that's why we have a phone line. And well, we'd love to hear from you.
I also, and I just haven't seen any follow-up, and I'm curious to know. So Jay Paterno, after the meeting was over, said that the Department of Education and Governor Shapiro still have to sign off on this. I haven't seen that reported anywhere else, and I'm not sure if that's definitive. And if it is, I do have then another follow-up question. So what happens if, like, let's just say the Department of Education says, yep, we're okay with this, but the governor is sitting there and saying, nope, I want to see these stay open. Well, can one politician actually tell a university that, yes, you may not do what your board, what your president, what the administration overall, and, again, just play the theoretical here, the Department of Education, like, do they both need to sign off, or vice versa? The governor says, yep, we need to shut it down. Can the Department of Education step in and say, nope, you must keep these open? That instinctively, that doesn't seem like something that could happen, but I don't know enough about... I had not seen that mentioned anywhere. I presumed that the vote last night was kind of the final vote, and that was the end of the deal. It wasn't even clear a month ago whether the trustees had any say in this, that this was just an administration decision, and then all of a sudden the trustees were, hey, just so you know, we're going to give you a report, and you got to vote on this.
We're in charge.
And it's like, well, huh, that's interesting, because that was not at all clear. And I don't know if it is clear one way or the other on this. I just, hypothetically, my guess is they will all sign off that, hey, Penn State. Now, again, could there be some ramifications here moving forward with the state funding and all of that? Sure, there could be. We'll have to wait and see. But more directly, can either of those entities actually step in and tell Penn State, no, you must keep these campuses open? And therefore, to hear Neely Bendapudi tell it, that you could have politicians telling the university it must continue to lose money on certain campuses. That doesn't seem like that would be right to me. And I don't mean right, whether I'm not taking a side in this instance on whether closing them is right. I just I don't think a couple of I think if the university ought to be able to, however it makes its decisions, and I think that is still debatable here. But I do think the university ought to be able to make decisions about what it is doing with its university. I'm okay with there being ramifications with the funding and all of that. I think that's a separate matter. But can the governor actually step in and say, because that's what it sounded like Jay Paterno was saying, that Governor Shapiro could still step in and say, nope, it doesn't matter what the president and what the board says, we're keeping all of these Commonwealth campuses open.
Well, we had State Senator Wayne Langerhoek in here a couple of days ago, and I kind of put that question to him. I said, all right, Penn State is a state-related university. Does Harrisburg have any say in this? And it will be interesting to see what happens in the next week. Again, holiday weekend. Let's just lighten up for a weekend, all right? What will happen in the next week to see if somebody might try? Now, you mentioned Shapiro. Okay, he's a politician at the top of the ladder.
Yep.
Can he do, you know, can he stick his hand in there? Does he want to stick his hand in there? All right, there's that. He's not a Penn State grad. Okay, he's Mr. Philadelphia, for goodness sakes. Everything's Philadelphia leaning for him. He might not give a hoot. But, all right, by the way, Senator Langerhoek's interview is on our website, 987thefox.info. Go to the Let's Talk section. And for any intrepid reporters out there listening, and we know you are, we just gave you a story lead. The Ironhead just gave you a story lead. Let's see if we can get somebody out there to do some digging and see what they can find out.
Yeah, we got to go do the work.
Yeah,
we're good at telling you what
we'll
the work should
the
be. We're just not going to do it.
No, we'll give you the ideas. Well, we could, but it'd be more for them. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. More open line time, maybe a call or two from you when we continue after this.
Also, my lawn needs cut. Somebody get on that, would you?
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
The 36th annual historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include Center Communications, Inc., Five Star Chrysler, Rick Snyder's Concessions, PAMP, Premier Garage, and Clearwater Pools.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The State College Spikes 2025 season is just around the corner. The 40-game regular season home slate runs Friday, June 6th through August 28th and features three great bobbleheads honoring Paul Posluszny, Katie Schumacher, Collie, and Guy Gadowski. Three Mark in the Park nights, E-L-G-S-E-S night on August 23rd. Enjoy fun, affordable family entertainment here in Happy Valley. For tickets, call 814-272-1711 and buy and download at statecollegespikes.com.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dotter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Friday morning as we kick off the four-day party weekend, and we do so in style. Some open phone time here at 814-954-7266, and we say good morning, and you're live on the air.
Good morning. Happy Memorial Weekend.
Thank you.
Hopefully everyone will get to Bowlesburg. Now, if you look back in the old newspapers, in which I love because they're only now available through scanned imagery, all the center county towns kind of all were vying for that place of the first town to have memorial service, and they all did. They were just on different dates. And I think they used to call them Flower Day because they would dress up the headstones marking the graves of those fallen in battle with flowers.
Okay.
But, hey, getting back to our favorite conversation, which isn't the tush push today, closing the campuses.
Okay. Go ahead.
I just want to throw this into the mix. We're talking institutional time. So you've got the charter with the state. I'm sure it has changed over the last 150 years. But there could be some old language and some old charters. And the other thing is all these branch campuses, if you recall, many of them used to be community colleges that were going under the first years of the 1990s. And then when the federal government stepped in and said, we will lend anyone a loan to go to college, then suddenly there was a reversal in high school graduation. And instead of 30% going off to college, 70% went off. So now we're kind of flipping back to what I remember. You know, 70% went into the trades and 30% went into college. But I would imagine that some of these Penn State campuses, which may have been formerly community colleges, maybe there's some covenants on the deeds. So, you know, getting back to Jay and Company, yeah, there may be some. You know, I did thought it was interesting. They said they were going to repurpose the campuses, so it's not a complete closure. So you still have all that infrastructure to maintain. You just can't shut the heat off on the buildings and turn the water. You know, there's still a lot of maintenance there. Just that it's going to be depopulated.
Yeah, I saw that. We're going to repurpose them. I'm like, okay, what does that mean?
Is a good question.
You're going to sell them to somebody?
That is one of the things that I did think was a little concerning, is that there was not a lot of specificity in terms of what the future is going to look like with those campus sites. And it's why I thought Carl Nassib, to me, came across as disingenuous when he was, I forget who the trustee was that said, you know, there are three other options here, including, you know, let's see if we can find donors, AI, I forget now what the other one was, and Carl's like, you know, man, I love your passion, but, you know, there was no specificity in your ideas there, and so I need to vote in favor of this. I'm like, well, hold on a second. Like, there's not a ton of specificity here in terms of what the future of these campus sites is going to look like, nor with the other Commonwealth campuses and the future there.
I'm thinking they're probably going to, one of the things they'll probably do is reach out and see if they can lease it to a different educational business model. So I have a brother who's a Princeton grad. I couldn't find work, even with a master's degree from Ivy League, and that was in the 80s. And then he took a 10-week course that popped up through, it was like a crash course in computer programming. And by the end of the 10 weeks, he paid $1,000 a week. He had a job. Maybe Penn State will be leasing the campuses to other educational business models. I don't know.
Yeah, there also was not a lot of specificity in the... There was talk of we're going to really work to make Penn State still more accessible, despite these closures, and more affordable. And, again, that sounds great. Who would be opposed to that? And then it's like, and how are you going to go about that? We just are. Well, that's... You can't fault the one trustee for not giving enough specifics and then turn around and say, yeah, we have to vote for this plan without many specifics of some of the things we're moving forward on.
I bet there's some historic covenants which kind of restrict us to complete the demolish and sell the property. So there's probably some type of intermittent, some middle ground where they'll probably reach out and see if they can lease the properties. That's my guess. Like you, I'm not going to do the research.
Well, thank you. We're not alone there.
All right. Somebody out there, do the research.
Will you?
All right. Hey, thank you for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. As always, have a great Memorial Day weekend.
All right. Once again, 814-954-7266. Now, the caller kind of touched on a couple other things in the mix, because the statistics are out there, not hard to find. More people, young people, more people are doing online learning. All right, well, heck, you can do that from your kitchen table. All right, we know that. More students, more young people today are thinking, you know, maybe college isn't for me. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go to a trade school. I'm going to go to a tech school. I'm going to do an internship or apprenticeship or something like that. That number is going up. So again, to be in the business of higher education is really difficult right now, and it's only going to get tougher. Not going to get easier. So yeah. You're going to have this giant number of campuses still open? Maybe not. Let's take a call.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hi, Chuck O calling in.
Go ahead.
On the trustees, with the governor, what you said about the governor going to make his own decision on whether they get taxes out, doesn't the governor doesn't have any vote, but he gets to vote for I think it's six trustees, is that correct?
That might be right. Yeah, there were several people that did not vote and did not take part in this online gig last evening because they are directly in state government, and it was deemed that, okay, they probably shouldn't be voting publicly on this thing or voting at all because of that connection. So I think the vote was 25-8. Now, if you do some simple math, that's 33. You're like, wait a minute, isn't there like 38 trustees? Yes, because several people abstained because they're directly in state government and they should not have gotten involved with this particular vote, which they did not take part in last evening. Yes.
Okay. Thanks. That's all I got.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. There. Not every trustee voted last night. Some people abstained. Like, okay, I'm in state government. I better leave this one alone. All right. That's cool. Frankly, if was it five? Even if all five were involved, it wouldn't have changed anything really. But again, can the governor step in and say, "No, you must stop"? As far as I know, no, he can't do that. Can he make noise? Oh, are you kidding me? Politician, they can make noise anytime they want. Will he make noise? I'm thinking doubtful, but let's see what transpires. I'd be amazed if something happened yet today because we're going into a holiday weekend. But let's wait till we get past the holiday next week. Again, my earlier thought is this one over. All right, are some people going to fight it? Are some people in Harrisburg going to fight it? We don't know. All right, we'll see. All right, we've got to take another break here, and then we'll have a few more minutes. We have some open line time if you still want to chime in. Let's talk on 98.7 The Fox. Hey, we'll come right back.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dodder Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Fox Sports.
One final segment for the week, and then we launch into the four-day party weekend and Memorial Day, of course, coming up on Monday. No program here Monday morning. We'll have Fox Sports running throughout the day. Of course, we will have the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship game on Monday, 12:45 airtime, 1 o'clock start. Penn State may very well be in that championship game. We will have the semifinal matchup between the Nittany Lions and top-ranked Cornell tomorrow at 12 noon here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, and we'll have a lot of coverage of Pirates baseball. 5 runs in one game last night. Oh, they lost the game, of course. But, I mean, 5 runs,
they
folks.
They gave up 8.
In just one game? Can you believe it? Oh, it is... It is quite the time to be a Pirates fan. So you can stay tuned for all of that. 6:15 airtime for the Buccos and the Brewers tonight. And again, you can listen for me. I'll be yelling out, "Hi, Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox audience from PNC Park tomorrow afternoon." Or at least we're planning on it. We have some. Some issues at our house today that we're trying to work through.
But.
Yes, it has been an interesting morning, but that's another story for another time. We might get into that next week. I'm just scrolling through my Facebook, and this is one of those... It's like everything. And listen, I am as guilty as anybody, so I understand where you're coming from. I get... probably overly emotional, and I get worked up on stuff, and it's like, rah, 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 and then you know, like you sit back and say, "Oh, well, yeah, there was probably a good reason for that. Never mind." And I'm not even going to mention the person, but a person writes in As a card-carrying lifetime alumni from one of the campuses slated for closure, PSU will no longer receive my financial support or my goodwill. Take that, Penn State! No more goodwill from me! Now, the financial support, again, I don't know how significant or insignificant that financial support is, and I suspect there are some others in that same position. I understand it as far as it goes. At least I think I do. Again, I went to University Park. University Park staying open. So, but I think I get the emotion. And I'll compare it. I had a wonderful experience at Lamont Elementary School. I thought it was a really cool school. Still think it's a really cool building. It got shut down as an elementary school. Now it has been repurposed and is still being used for educational purposes, which is, I think, wonderful. But Lamont Elementary School is no longer. I think it's a bummer. I was disappointed. But I listened to all of the discussion. I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. There was a lot of cost. They were having some real problems with the HVAC systems and all of that. And they built the new Spring Creek Elementary School where Houserville was, and if you've been over there, it is a really nice school. It serves the purpose. I still have the great memories of Lamont. I think State College ultimately probably did the right thing there. But yeah, is it a bummer that Lamont is closed to me, with the memories I have there? Yeah, it's a bummer. And somebody wrote in, well, if you remove the emotion here, maybe you'll reconsider your position here. Sometimes it's really hard to do. I go back, I probably too often use O.W. House as an example, but I mean, there were a lot of people that to this day feel a real attachment there to O.W. House, and things change. Some of it, I would argue, not for the better, but they just do. And I think Penn State is acting pretty responsibly here myself. I understand some of the arguments and I share some of the concerns. Vague promises of, yep, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I want to see, and several of the trustees that voted against this, including Jay Paterno, like, all right, I want to see the follow-up here where you're saying we're going to get back more to our land-grant routes, and we're going to try to make this more affordable for Pennsylvania students, and we're going to make this still accessible or more accessible for Pennsylvania students. And it's interesting, Scott, because I understand what you're saying with the business, and there is a business component. I would put it that way. I don't think Penn State is just a business or that the school district are just businesses.
No.
And I do think they're different from businesses in that I think there are some different objectives. It's not just like a business, largely. Now, can it be providing services and can they want to do good for their communities and all that? Yeah, but at the end of the day, a business is in business to make money. I'd like to think that the university, and again, I'm not saying that's not an element, but yeah, there's a greater purpose here to the university. Now, to be able to serve that greater purpose, do they have to have the business component in check? I understand that. Anyways, folks, we hope you have a great weekend.
Yep.
We hope you enjoy it, and we will be back on Tuesday. And go Penn State lacrosse and baseball.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.